Our reading today, is, as you can see, is from the first letter of Peter, chapter 4, starting verse 7 to verse 11. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as if one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power for ever and ever. Amen.
Thanks very much, Mark and Andy. So we're coming to the end of our summer series, which has been on growing in Jesus' grace and truth. That should slide there up on the screen in a moment, just reminding you of what we covered over the summer. And it's been good to do that. Just so you know, next week we're going to start our autumn series in going back to just sort of working through a book of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at 1 John, John's first letter, which will be exciting and fun. I'm looking forward to getting back into that book. But this week we're finishing off our series, slightly out of order, but finishing off our series on growing in Jesus' grace and truth with the topic of sharing meals and life together. So as we think about this topic, it's going to have a bit more practical advice than some of my friends do. I'm going to go a little bit off the passage at points to try and make this practical. But we are going to try and say, what does this passage tell us about how we do this sharing life and meals together? But before we do, I think it's worth thinking about, what does our culture think when we think about hospitality? And one place to think about that is the TV show Come Dine With Me. Anyone here watch that? Put your hands up if you watched it. Yeah, okay, so I'm not totally losing everybody at this point. Yep. So the idea is some people host a dinner party. They invite people into their homes. They offer them an amazing meal, hopefully. And then they judge each other. And then there's a lot of interest in that, isn't there? You know, we like peeking into other people's homes. What's their kitchen like? What's their dining room like? We like to get ideas about what we might cook. We both enjoy inspiration when we see success, and we get a certain pleasure out of the mishaps, don't we? And we people watch. Spot the social dynamics, follow the conversations. There's a lot of ingredients in that show that will grab our attention. But actually, culturally, it's quite abnormal for anyone to invite anyone into their home. 40% of families don't even eat a meal together in their own home in this country. And rather more than that, would have at most extended family into their home. It's actually very rare in this country for people to, in any regular way, invite others into their home to share a meal. And so in that sense, Come Dine With Me is a great inspiration. Let's get people we're not related to into our house to have a meal together and talk together over a meal. It gets some things really right, but it also puts some blocks in the way of biblical hospitality. So I'm going to get you to chat with people around you just for a minute. I want to think about this question. How does Come Dine With Me and the view of hospitality it gives make it hard for individuals to think about doing hospitality? So how does Come Dine With Me make it hard for people to think about doing hospitality? Take a minute. Some connection points, either that or you're just going on totally different conversations. But what are some of the different ways that Come Dine With Me view of hospitality might make it hard for people to do hospitality if they think that's what it is? Yeah, there's a few different answers, so shout out one of them. Okay, so fear, you know, if you invite people into your home, you're going to be judged. That puts the pressure on, doesn't it? Yeah. Anything else? Yeah, you have to put on this sort of fake level of who your house and who you are rather than saying, you know, come into my house and just be with who I am. Yeah. Sorry, what was that? You need a... Yes, yes. So we don't have the right sort of after-dinner entertainment. We don't have the magician just handy to do a show for people. Yeah.
Hospitality isn't normally
Hospitality shouldn't be competitive, but if you think it is, then it's, you know, I invite you, you invite me back, and we're always one-upmanshipping each other. I don't even want to start that game. I'm not going to invite you round, because, you know, the one-upmanship could really become quite hard work. Yeah, anything else? Yeah, so it's impressing people rather than caring people, definitely. And just, like, it's a lot of hard work. Like, I mean, hospitality, we're going to see, is hard work, but the level to which it goes, if you've got to be that good in every area, your house has got to be this good, your cooking's got to be that good, your conversation's got to be that good, the pressure is on, and we feel like, oh, I'm never going to measure up. And so there's a positive thing about Come Dine With Me. It encourages this view of hospitality, but it also then leads to this pressure, this judgment, this competitiveness. And so we're going to see how the Bible equips us for hospitality in a different way. Peter begins this section with a look forward to the coming of Jesus in verse 7. The end of all things is near, therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. There's a day coming, and we don't know when it is. It could be tomorrow. It might be in 1,000 years' time. But on this day, the world will get wrapped up, and each of us, verse 5, will have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so we start with this idea, this life isn't all there is. There's a day of accounting coming, and then an eternal destiny. And so Christians are to live with that day in mind. They're not to live just for the here and now, they're to live with eternity in mind. But Peter doesn't say, be afraid of it and hide away, because there's a terrible world out there and Jesus is coming. Hide away until that day. He says there's a big plan of God, so God goes out to invite people in, that there might be many who live according to God's plan are invited on that day. That's the big picture. There's a day of judgment coming. So God says, God's own mission, which he invites us to, is go out to invite people in so that they will look forward to that day rather than fear it. So God the Father sends God the Son into the world to reach lost people. At the beginning of Peter's letter, he describes it like this. You were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. So Peter says, right back before he created anything, God had a plan that he would send his Son into the world to redeem lost people. God reveals himself in Jesus to be the one who will pay any price in order to go where people are and make God known and deal with their sin. So God redeems the people who'd rebelled against him and hated him and made a horrendous mess of his world. And he redeems them not with gold and silver, not with things that we think of as precious, but that actually to God he could just create by speaking. He redeems them with the precious blood of Christ. God the Son takes flesh and blood in order to suffer death, to give his flesh and blood to pay the price to wash us clean, to set us free from a world spiraling down into destruction. And we'll be celebrating that later with the Lord's Supper. But he doesn't just stop with coming out and making a visit to us to make himself known. He doesn't just travel out to pay a price and then disappear. God goes out into the world in order to invite people in, to welcome them into his home. And so 1 Peter 3 verse 18 says, Christ suffered for sin, once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. So this is the shape of God's plan. It's the shape of the big Bible story. God will go out to live among those who are lost and hopeless. He'll pay any price to bridge that gap and make himself known. And all of that so that he can invite people back to his Father's house. Come and make your home with God is the big picture of the Bible. It's where it ends. Come and live in God's house forever. So God is the ultimate host, the ultimate in hospitality, because he has the perfect home. If he did come dine with me, he'd get perfect points, wouldn't he? He is the perfect family. He is the perfect community. And with lavish generosity, he welcomes everyone in, everyone who trusts in Jesus. He says, don't worry about your dirty shoes and clothes. I have fresh clothes for you. Come and sit at our family table and eat with us and talk with us. And we might be inclined to go, but God, you know everything. You're the best at everything. You're wiser than I am. Why would you want me and why would you want to listen to me? God says, yes, but I love to hear your voice. I love to talk heart to heart with you. Come and sit with me and tell me about life. That is hospitality. God invites us as filthy, self-obsessed enemies of God to come and make ourselves at home in his home, to be loved as part of his family, to enjoy the best that he has to give. Yes, the creation that he's made, but actually even above that, himself as he gives his Son and his Spirit to us. That's the shape of God's plan. He goes out in order to welcome in. And so the Christian life is meant to share that shape. We go out where people are to show Jesus' love and tell them about the invitation of Jesus. So verse 6 says, "For this reason the gospel was preached even to those who are now dead, so that they might be judged according to human standards, according to the body, but live according to God with regard to the Spirit." So everyone's going to die, but those who hear the good news about Jesus and trust him will live with God after their death. They are invited into God's house. And so that's why Peter went out to preach the gospel. That's why all the apostles go out and travel out to preach the gospel. They want people who don't know Jesus to know him. They want to invite them in. And so the Christian life is not simply a lonely pilgrimage with God, although at stages it may feel like that. But the Christian life is meant to be, I am saved by God into his family, and now the church begins to live like that, goes out in order to welcome in. And the welcome should be generous. The church community should be generous. Come as you are. Don't worry about the mess you bring. We love and value you. We'll share what we have with you. To be shaped by Jesus is to be hospitable, not only to our friends, but to whoever we meet. So, that's the pattern God gives us. And now we're going to think, what does it look like for us? Love is shown in 1 Peter in sharing our lives and meals with people. So have a look at verses 8 to 9. You've got two questions that will appear. Firstly, the simple one, you know, just read it. What does Peter tell us to do in verses 8 to 9? But then the slightly trickier one, what do these commands imply about sharing life in church community? What does this imply about what church community was like in Peter's day and what it will be like in our day? So what does Peter tell us to do? That should be the simple one. What do these commands imply about sharing life in church community? Let's take a minute or so in your groups again talking about that. From a few people. When it comes to what does Peter tell us to do, I'll just answer that one because it's very obvious. He tells us to love, to offer hospitality, and not to grumble. So love deeply, offer hospitality, don't grumble. That's what those verses tell us to do. But the more interesting question, What do these commands imply about sharing life in church community, what it's like? Anyone got any thoughts on that? Church family's messy. Why do you think that? Yeah, so church is going to be messy, and you can tell that because you're going to be tempted to grumble and because you're going to have to cover sins. You're going to have to forgive each other. That's what love is going to look like. Yep. Yep. Anything else people had? I think that's the big one, isn't it? Yeah. The Bible isn't saying do hospitality, and when you do hospitality, suddenly church life is going to be solved. And everything's going to be easy. It's do these things because church is messy, and it's still going to be messy after you do this. There's still going to be sin to forgive. There's still going to be a challenge about hospitality. So let's think a little bit, first of all, about the positive. How do we show love by sharing lives and meals? And then we'll think a little bit about how we get power to do that when it's hard. So remember the love of Jesus, that it's directed to the good of those he loves, not his own gratification. He doesn't choose to go become human in a broken world and then go to the cross because that's the most fun for him. He does that because he loves us and wants to do us good. And when we do hospitality, there are sort of two different models we could use. One is the model which says, I'm doing this to look great myself and to get the most fun for me. I may be drawn to inviting people around so that they can admire me. Or I may invite people around because they are so beautiful and good and powerful that I want something off them. I'm trying to win their favor. But whatever I'm doing it because it serves me. I'm doing it because I love me most. And on one level, it's not wrong that we're made to think we should be drawn to what is good and beautiful and powerful, because we're made to be drawn to God himself, who is the most good, powerful, and good thing. But the danger is that hospitality becomes all about our self-love. It becomes all about us filling up, whether because we enjoy the experience, I invite people who I enjoy being with and not people who I don't, or whether it's serving our status in some way. I invite people to get something back out of them. Maybe if I invite these people around, they'll help me with my business. They'll help me with my desire to be elected to a position. They'll help me in some other way. Maybe just that them being in the picture will make my Instagram pictures look better, and that will help me. But we put on a show for them in order to gain something for ourselves. But Jesus' love shows us a different way. He loves not for his good, but for others' good. He comes down from heaven in order to let us know our Creator. He dies on the cross in order for us to be forgiven. He gives himself for us and to us for our good. His love truly does cover over a multitude of sins and meets our needs. And so our hospitality is meant to be patterned on Jesus' love. So we're looking out for people who we can do good to, regardless of who they are. We're not looking for something back from them. We're saying, how can I bless? We're not putting on a show for them to gain their approval in that sense. We are sharing who we are and what we have. If your house is normally tidy and you love to cook for hours on gourmet dishes, then by all means share that, and I'm sure that would be a blessing to others. But you know what? If your house is a place where you're working hard to stop chaos descending into squalor, and where your treat is supermarket frozen pizza and your staple is baked beans on toast, then share who you are, and that will be a blessing to people. Hospitality is love welcoming others to share who you are and what you have. So welcome people into your space, into your life. Where there is good there, let them see it and share it. Where there are troubles, you don't need to. You are sharing who you are, a child of God, still battling sin, still scarred by a broken world. So your house is imperfect, and your kids aren't perfect, and your food may be burnt or underdone. But to share your life and food with another is a blessing to them, and it's a command from God. Offer hospitality to one another. And what this looks like will vary. So one way we do this is actually together as a church, after church, we offer refreshments. We do that because we want to obey the command here, offer hospitality to one another. And so our church family time, our church service, it's not simply the formal time in here, but it's what we do outside of that, where we share life together, have food and drink together. So please don't rush off after this. Please stay. Share yourself with us, and we will share ourselves with you. And perhaps for some of you, that is a way that you can serve, particularly in the providing of food and drink. If you want to be part of that team, speak to Sarah Collier or to me after the service. It's a way we can show hospitality. On a personal level, though, we can have all sorts of reasons why we think, I can't do this. I can't invite people in and share who I am and share food and drink with people. Maybe you think, I have nothing to share. Maybe you think, I live in a tiny room in a shared house. I don't have much money. I can't offer anything to people. But you can. Because what you're doing is sharing who you are and what you have. Maybe hospitality looks like taking a flask of coffee and a couple of cookies and arranging to meet someone on a park bench. That's hospitality. It's sharing who you are and what you have and giving time to people. You know, other people there might be people at the other end who have spare rooms and packed freezers and who invite people who haven't got a home to stay with them for months on end. That's fantastic, but God doesn't say you must offer that when you don't have the space to do that. He says, share who you are and what you have. And if that's, I can sit on a park bench and have a drink with someone, then do that. You will bless people by doing that. Some of you might struggle because you think, you as a person are not a blessing to others, that people wouldn't want to share time with you, that you'd just be a burden to them if you shared time. But every human being is a unique masterpiece made in God's image. Everyone has something precious in them and uniquely good for others in them. And if you have received God's welcome in Christ, the Holy Spirit is at work in you to bring blessing through you to the world. You are precious. And if you welcome others to share time with you and share yourself with your doubts and struggles as well as your triumphs and wisdom, you will bless other people. Some of you don't know who to invite. You look at your list of who you might invite and it's like, there's no one on there. Well, then pray for God to guide you. Open your eyes to the people you're already in contact with who you could go a step deeper with. You could invite them into your home where currently you don't. Or if you genuinely don't know people who you could invite, ask God to help you to go out and get to know people who you could then share life with and share hospitality with. For others, the challenge will be time. Between work, family, and hobbies, we may have no time to share life with others or to welcome people into our lives. But it's worth noticing, Peter's going to go on to talk about whether you speak or whether you serve. But he starts by putting hospitality in the category that's for all the church. It's not like you can go, I'm in the non-hospitable bit of church family. Okay, everyone is called to be hospitable. Some people speak more, some people serve more, but both in words and service, we're called to be hospitable. Share your life and the good things you've been given to welcome others in. And for some of us, that might mean cutting other things out of life. God doesn't call us to do more than is possible to do. If he commands hospitality, be hospitable to one another, that means it is possible for us to do this. And it might be that we're filling our lives with things that he doesn't command and need to cut something out so that at least a couple of times in the week there are slots where we could connect to others and share our life with others. Different people will have to look at their own life schedule. Where is it that I'm doing more than I should? Whether that's work or family or hobbies, or for different people it will be different. I can't tell you that everybody is working too hard or everyone is doing too much family time or whatever. Different people will have to figure it out for themselves, but there should be space for hospitality. And some of us, it might not be so much time as mindset, the recognition that actually we do stuff where we could easily just be a bit more hospitable as we do it. You know, most people eat 3 meals a day. Many people have at least one coffee break in the day. Can you do any of those with someone else? Maybe the challenge is in the workplace. Actually, I could pause for 15 minutes, and rather than pushing through at my desk, I actually am going to take the time to be sharing who I am with colleagues. That can be a form of hospitality. Maybe it's doing activities together rather than alone. If you have children, arranging to go to the park with another family or with a single person who can you can chat to, and they can get some time with children, and your children get some benefit from some time from a sort of extra uncle or auntie. How do we connect to things that we're already doing with other people? Now, if you're an introvert like me, you will need time by yourself to reflect and recharge. So it's not saying every moment of every day must be filled with this, but it's saying it must be part of our life. Jesus calls all of us to offer hospitality, to share who we are and what we have with others. And that is going to be hard at points, as Kate was saying. Peter is very realistic. We will be tempted to grumble about offering hospitality at points, because the people we invite to our table are sinners. They're not perfect people. Sometimes we'll grumble because they're ungrateful, or they leave a mess. They break the plates. They spill stuff on the floor. Sometimes we'll grumble because they didn't invite us back, and we feel like we're always the ones doing the inviting, and they never invite us back, or they didn't show sympathy for us. Sometimes we'll grumble just because it felt like one more hard thing in the day, practically and emotionally. The people we invite to share our lives are sinners, and so are we. So Peter warns us, do this without grumbling, because Jesus welcomes us in with all our mess, and he never grumbles. I wonder if ever, as you come to Jesus in your mind, as you try and talk to him in prayer, you ever have the sense of, Jesus must be fed up of me coming into his house, bringing mess in again. But the Bible tells us that's not his attitude. He loves to see us back. His welcome doormat is always out. And he always cleans us up without grumbling and says, now spend some time with me. I'd love to spend time with you. So Peter doesn't promise, if you practice hospitality, it will get easier and it will be so little effort and you'll get so much blessing out of it, it'll be great. That's not how he solves the problem. He just says, it's going to be hard, but you've been forgiven a lot. Love each other deeply, cover over those sins, and keep sharing yourself and what you have. Because we're not in it for what we get out of it. Hospitality is not something which we do in order to sort of get a rating. You know, it's not like restaurants that are trying to get the 5-star rating. We're not in it for a rating. We're not in it for an income. We're not in it actually just for ourselves, although often you will find that it's more blessed to give than to receive. But even if it's not, we're in it to serve others. People are lonely, and when we welcome them into our lives, they get a taste of love and friendship. People are short of time. And when we say, come straight from work to have a meal with us, they don't have to cook a meal. They get perhaps a breathing space in busy life. Some people are short of money. And a shared meal is a truly gracious way of meeting a physical need, relating as person to person rather than treating someone as a charity project. Peter says, whatever we have, we should use it to serve Jesus. Verse 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. Amen. So we've each been given life, a unique personality, a history. We've each been given home and food and ways to serve and work. And so we're to use what we have, whatever God has given us, as faithful stewards of God's grace, so that Jesus will be praised. It may be that as you look at your gifts, you go, I don't quite have what I have to make hospitality easy. You know, maybe I'm great at the practicalities, but rubbish at conversation, or the other way around. You know, you're allowed to team up to do this sort of thing. You're allowed to say, actually, together we can do this better. But our goal in doing this is not that we'll get a really great reputation as a cook or a parent, as a home decorator, as a witty conversationalist. Our goal is that the person gets to experience something of Jesus and his love, shared through us our weak and imperfect lives, if we trust Jesus, if we speak words from God, if we serve asking God to give us strength, then we hope God will be praised. And people will taste Jesus' love for them, be encouraged. Christians need that. They need the encouragement of tasting God's love for them in the love of their fellow Christians. Those who don't yet know Jesus need that. How will they experience Christ? Well, one of the main ways is through his people, showing something of Christ's compassion and welcome. And that means that if we offer raw pasta to guests, or our children have tantrums, or we prepare a roast chicken meal to find that the guest is a vegetarian, Monteros have done all of these, it doesn't make it worthless. People long to be loved and included, to be invited into home. People have enough glossy presentations of perfection in media, don't they? Yeah, you can go onto any YouTube channel or any magazine, and you'll find pictures of the life we all long for, and we all know it's not really real. It's all photoshopped, it's all staged. But we can offer flawed people who have known God's loving welcome, and now welcome others while pointing to Jesus as the source of hospitality, that the true reality which we are feebly in our lives. So when our values say, sharing meals and life together, don't think, come dine with me. Think, God has sent Jesus into the world to welcome me into his family. And now I want to be like God in loving people and welcoming them, to share what I have. No one who knows Jesus is able to get an opt-out of this command to show hospitality. We are all encouraged, all commanded to invite others in, to share who we are, to care for people as they are. And may that be true for us as Emmanuel Church North Stay. Let me pray for us. Father God, we thank you for your immense generosity to us, that you stand with arms open wide, that you long to have people come into your house to spend time with you, that you lavish good gifts on us even now on earth, and that there is a feast coming, a wonderful eternal home with you, which you long to share with your creatures, with human beings who you've made. Thank you for your heart. Thank you that loving, welcoming heart meant that you sent your son into this world to be our rescuer, to be the one who died, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring sinners to God. And thank you for those who have shown us hospitality throughout our life. Thank you for the experiences we've already had of people who have shared who they are and what they have, who have cared for us as individuals. We thank you for the blessing that they have been in our lives, and we pray that you would help us to see how, in our own way, being who we are and with what we have, we might reflect your hospitable heart and be a blessing to many around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.